The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
More than 600 teaching posts are still vacant as the beginning of the school term rapidly approaches. In a report published by the Association of Secondary Teachers in Ireland, 70% of school leaders surveyed said they have employed non-qualified or casual teachers to fill vacancies. Now, we're joined by the Teachers Union of Ireland President, Anthony Quinn, and we're also joined by Aaron Wolfe, the principal of Coláiste Éamon Ríos. Good morning and welcome. Aaron, we'll go to you first because you're, if you like, in the trenches about this. Tell me about your quest to find a full complement of teachers.
Morning, Pat. Yeah, so it is difficult, you know, and as schools now are starting to reopen, some of the vacancies that we thought we had filled back in May, you're now hearing that, you know, teachers maybe aren't taking that position and you're going back to the drawing board, or you're getting calls that someone's going out on maternity leave. So we're certainly not out in the woods yet. As schools begin to reopen, you're finding that you have vacancies maybe you weren't expecting.
Now, there is a scheme, I think, called the Extension of Hours, where you can actually get teachers to work more than the required number of hours in exchange for more pay. How widely is that used?
Oh, that's a fantastic scheme. And that has kind of, I suppose, really kept some schools open. So if you, for example, you might have lost your higher level Leaving Cert maths teacher, you can offer those hours to someone if they're off at those times. So it's trying to get someone that actually off for those five classes a week to step in and teach the class. But you're talking about principals going in, deputy principals going in. It creates extra work. I mean, if you're principal and you're covering classes, you've got all your work to do after school then. So there are ripple effects to it. But it is a great scheme and it's really helped. But we are in quite a situation.
Now, you mentioned maternity leave. I mean, people maybe properly trying to become parents and they end up pregnant, there's no predicting necessarily when that might happen. What kind of a crisis does that present when you get late in the day news that someone is going on maternity leave?
Well, obviously, it's great news for the teacher and it's great news for their family, but it creates a problem in the school, particularly if you're a parent or a child and you've got someone in sixth year and you're facing that your Leaving Cert teacher is going to be out and the school is struggling to fill that vacancy. That's a very, very difficult situation. So again, if you can't find anyone suitably qualified to an interview process, you are turning to your existing staff and seeing, will anyone go in there? But again, very difficult to get consistency there, to get someone to cover all five classes.
Now you have to be very inventive, and you were looking for Spanish teachers and you turned to a country where they speak Spanish. Where did you go?
Well, we were actually approached by them. We were approached by teachers that were living in Argentina through the Edmund Rice Schools Trust. So my school is an Edmund Rice school and there are Edmund Rice schools all across the world. So it was teachers that were working in Edmund Rice School in Argentina and they wanted to come to Ireland for 1 year. But we couldn't get them a work permit. And we tried and tried and tried and we were stopped at every turn. And in the end, it just didn't happen. We just couldn't get them to come over, even though they were qualified teachers. The teaching council would have approved them. We could not get these work permits. So the process is made very, very difficult for you to be inventive and to find solutions to the problems.
Now, the concern parents have is that someone who's not really qualified ends up in front of the class and maybe does a half decent job, but is still not a qualified teacher. How much of that is going on? You know, people who are still on a training course, for instance.
Well, exactly. I mean, I've had to use it. So if teachers go out sick, again, you're talking more mid-year problems. You are using the PME students to go into classes and they are still doing their training. They don't have the experience. So it is across the board. But the teacher shortage crisis is a very real crisis. It's been a crisis that we've seen coming, you know, and there's a lot of factors. And I think what the government looking at is what the AFGI have called plastering solutions, you know, just kind of plastering over the cracks rather than going back and looking at the absolute cause of why people don't want to become teachers and why we have so few graduates going into the profession. I mean, we need to address those problems.
Now, I don't know what the arithmetic is on all of this, but if every teacher who qualified here stayed here, would that resolve the problem? In other words, are we training enough people to meet with the demand, but for all sorts of reasons, they never take up a teaching post in Ireland, or at least not yet?
Well, I would say, I'd only be guessing. I think there are fewer graduates going into the teaching profession, but a problem we have is those that do go in, Once they become permanent, they are putting in for career breaks. Now, you can't blame them for that, because we have a generation of teachers now who, first of all, they did their leaving cert during COVID. They didn't do a leaving cert. They went to college and they didn't do the J1. They didn't get to go into railing. And now they're looking, they're in their 20s and they're still living at home because they can't afford rent. They can't, you know, back in my generation, you became a teacher, you saved for your deposit, you got your mortgage. But they're looking down, they're saying, well, I'll never be able to own my own house and I'm going to have to teach until I'm 70 years old. So why don't I go off and see the world? And it's a brilliant opportunity, and do go off and see the world. It makes them a better teacher. But you've got all these young teachers now who are going off to live in Australia, or they're going off to teach in Dubai. And teaching in Dubai is made much more attractive than teaching in Ireland.
Yeah, and they'll obviously come back with a big nest egg, which will enable them maybe to get on the property market. Or if they go to Australia, they may never come back. Now, Anthony Quinn, the Teachers Union of Ireland president, listening to this, I'm sure you concur with much of what Aaron has been saying.
Without doubt, Pat. And it, I suppose, identifies some of the key issues that is affecting the education system across the board. Just in relation to that question around are we qualifying enough teachers, currently the Teaching Council, which has a register of all qualified teachers, there's 17,000 of those teachers who are actually not in front of classrooms. So they've either been attracted across towards into the private sector, particularly teachers from the state. STEM subjects. And then, of course, we have a large amount of teachers who are just not willing because the profession has not the attractability that it once had.
So how many teachers are there? I just want to get a sense of how big a proportion that 17,000 is of the total teacher cohort.
So on the register, you would have upwards of about 60,000 in total.
Okay. And of those, 17,000 are AWOL from the register. Well, they're on the register, but AWOL from the classroom.
Not in classrooms, Pat.
Yeah. So what do you believe is a solution to this?
Well, you see, a wee bit like Aaron had extolled there, we have a certain amount of young qualified teachers are coming up, but the difficulty is they're actually not getting full-time contracts. Surveys identify that 1 in 4 do not have full-time hours, so that puts them at a disadvantage straight away, that they don't have the salary commensurate with the job, and they're looking for a full-time teaching job, and that's being offered. And we have people in the Irish market actively recruiting our young qualified teachers because they're of such a high calibre.
Okay, and I think that's a given that our teachers are of a high calibre. But that question of not getting a full-time contract, perhaps Aaron can add his wisdom here again. Aaron, that business, you know, someone applies to your school for a job and you're not offering them, if you like, permanency.
Well, you are. What you're offered is, you, to become a teacher, to become permanent, you must kind of work 2 years in a school. I think it's changed it to 1 year in a school, then you must be re-interviewed, and then you can get your CID. But the problem arises that if you only need 12 hours of maths, and you need another 11 hours of whatever of Spanish, you're looking for Spanish and a maths teacher, and you're offering those half hours to those people. And no one can live on a contract of 11 or 12 hours. Like when I, and that's been the way in teaching always. When I started teaching, I started on a 10-hour contract. And you just did it, and your hours increased year on year. And back then, you had to wait 4 years to be offered a CID. But it goes back to the curricular needs of the school. Now, in my school, we do only offer 22-hour contracts. We make the timetable fit. We want to make teaching in my school very attractive. But that's not always possible. You could be in a school where you only have 11 hours left over on your timetable. You need to fill that vacancy. It's 11 hours of maths. You're never going to find anyone that wants to work for 11 hours or can work for 11 hours.
And does 22 hours represent, if you like, a full contract?
22 hours is a full contract for teachers. But again, very difficult for in some schools for them to offer those contracts, unfortunately.
Mm. All right. So, Anthony, that question of not having the requisite hours available to young teachers, are there any schools in areas saying, listen, let's share a teacher? We're only, you know, half a kilometre down the road and we need the same sort of people that you need, but we can't offer them the full job. But 11 hours of higher maths here plus 11 hours of higher maths there, that's 22 hours. Is there any of that kind of thinking going on?
There was a scheme proposed by the Department of Education, Pat. But the pickup was minimal at best. And what you'll tend to find is the people who have the short contract, they might try to wait in the particular school and pick up subbing hours. Or ultimately what they're deciding to do is they're being enticed by better terms conditions abroad.
Okay, so the solution in your view is what, Anthony?
Well, we certainly the TUI position we've put forward, and we're in negotiations with the government at all stages. We've been acting as a bellwether for this over several years. It's that whole notion of job attractiveness, Pat. So we've been proposing that promotional opportunities that were halved during austerity, that those are built in so that people feel as though they've got a progression and a chance to grow in the profession and potentially to earn a higher remuneration by taking on additional and managerial roles. We're looking at having the postgraduate or the professional masters of education. So the teachers, instead of doing 2 years training, we can shorten that down to one, which would release about 3,500 teachers into the system. We're looking at enticing the teachers that we have abroad back by offering them incremental credit. And then reinstatement of allowances like the SEN qualification, the Teaching Through Irish and the Island allowances. And also, we're currently in negotiations with government and setting up a working group to look at the huge amount of workload. And all over the summer, I've had teachers contact me, and they're just fundamentally all reporting the same thing, that they're burnt out. The pace and the workload in schools is absolutely horrendous at the minute, Pat. And some of them are actually unfit or are not able to return back to schools.
I want to read you some of the texts coming in. One very simple, reiterated many times, ban career breaks for teachers. Another one says, it's very simple, don't allow teachers to take lucrative career breaks to earn tax-free cash in Dubai, for example. Totally opportunistic and absurd. I don't know of any other profession that allows this, from Jay Cooper. The rules for leave of absence and as follows: ongoing education, family and travel, work in the third world. We as nurses are routinely denied leave of absence due to shortages. Teachers are just given it, which is ridiculous. Another one: it strikes me that something is broken. Today you're talking about the shortage of teachers, and on the surface that does seem to be the case. However, you could be discussing GPs, builders, nurses, Garda numbers, army personnel, car mechanics, dentists, etc. So what is driving this? If we turn back the clock, when the marriage ban was in place, we didn't face these shortages. I can't figure out what has changed. Well, the marriage ban, it was ludicrous that someone, just because they got married, had to give up a job, irrespective of whether they had children to raise. But secondly, you need two people now to fund any decent mortgage. Listening with interest to the discussion, my daughter has completed her professional Master of Education PME degree. No job to be had. She has business and math subjects. She's had two interviews, one for the Galway and Roscommon Education and Training Board, which she's now on, and one for a job that was already gone. Nothing else since. We're based in Galway. 5 to 6 years to qualify to be a secondary school teacher, followed by an average of 8 years to become permanent, versus tech company workers where any 3-year degree course will qualify and get permanent high paid jobs immediately. Young teachers cannot get mortgages until they're in their mid 30s and are paid poorly compared to other graduates. Solution: make them permanent sooner and increase their pay. And a final one on this: a woman in my 40s with young kids, I've looked into teacher training, but the 2-year master's and the cost of it is prohibitive to enter the profession. I'm educated to master's level, so I don't see how 2 years should be required. If they reduce this, many more would enter the profession. Anthony, your comments on those contributions?
Certainly, there seems to be an ongoing kind of debate or around the career breaks, Pat. So I want to actually deal with the misgivings that are surrounding that whole issue. Career breaks, no teacher believes they're entitled or they don't have, there's a process involved with getting and securing a career break. They apply to the employer or their principal, and then if it's deemed that it's acceptable, they then receive it. If it's not acceptable, and I deal with huge ras of teachers who do not get their career break approved. And so they've two choices. They stay, or in a lot of instances, they're actually resigning their job. But this sort of notion that teachers are entitled and, you know, career breaks, that's an absolute red herring.
All right. And your comment on that one, I mean, Eamon, you probably have to, Aaron, you actually deal with people applying for career breaks.
Yeah, and we do turn them down. It is at the discretion of the Board of Management. Now, we try our best because, again, we do believe that, you know, these young teachers are teachers raising families. We should try and help them take their career breaks for whatever reason. But it is at the discretion of the Board of Management, and my school has been forced to turn down career breaks. But I just wanted to say one last thing there about that last texter. We have lost the whole cohort of teachers who I would call late vocations, people that would have gone into teaching much later on in life. They've tried the private sector. They didn't like it. They always had this kind of grow. They thought they would always become a good teacher. But they can't go into teaching now because teacher training, you're not paid for. You used to be able to take a year off and do your HDIP. That was changed in 2014 to 2 years. And that has taken out all those people from the teaching market that can't go back and become a teacher. And that should be reversed with a matter of urgency.
Aaron, thank you very much for joining us. Aaron Wolfe is principal of Coláiste Éamon Ríos and the Teachers Union of Ireland, President Anthony Quinn. Thank you all.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.